From Berean Free Presbyterian Church, we present Let the Bible Speak. Please have your Bible ready and stay with us as the Reverend Philip Owen opens the Scriptures to Let the Bible Speak.
Hello, glad you could tune in to our radio ministry. I'm Phil Owen, host of this regional broadcast of Let the Bible Speak from the South Towns of Buffalo, New York. Some have wondered about our name. A man named Charles Spurgeon from the last century, a preacher in England, said you don't really need to defend a lion, you just simply need to open its cage and it will defend itself. So is God's Word. It really doesn't need defense. We just need to open it and let the Bible speak for itself. And that's what we endeavor to do. Man's voices are clamoring to be heard, but God's voice will be heard above all, for it shakes heaven and earth. Hebrews 4:12 says, The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. May God's Word penetrate each of our hearts, and may the Lord who searches the hearts and the reins reveal our need of Him and manifest Himself to us. We encourage you to visit us here at Berean Free Presbyterian Church. We're just a half hour south of Buffalo and about 4.5 miles south of the Boston-Hamburg exit on Boston State Road in Boston. Today we have a couple of visiting ministers preaching for us. After a week of prayer among ministers and families at the Toronto Free Presbyterian Church, Reverend Reggie Kimbrough and his family from North Carolina are with us. Brother Kimbrough, who preaches in Winston-Salem, will be preaching for us at the 11 o'clock service this morning. And Reverend David Mook and his family from Phoenix are with us. Brother Mook is preaching tonight, Lord willing, at the 6:30 service. If you come this morning, we have a dinner afterwards where you can be sure to find plenty of food to eat. And if you come tonight or for both services, there will be food afterwards after the evening service as well. We encourage you to write in for your free issue of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine. You will not be solicited for money, and your name will not be passed on to any mailing list. The Lord takes care of our needs. We just want to see that you're encouraged and that Christ is lifted up. This is His day. We remember that He rose from the dead by the power of God. He is the resurrection and the life. If you believe in Him, though you are dead, yet you will live. May the Lord bless you today.
Join with faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, your mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness.
This is part two of testimonies given in observance of the Lord's Day. You remember the Wright brothers' testimony was given last week, the ones who would not fly on Sunday, and also Eric Liddell, the man who wouldn't run on Sunday in the Olympic Games. These are three more modern testimonies given in observance of the Lord's Day. Tom Farrell was a great athlete and represented Britain in the Olympic Games. In 1956, he broke the British Games record in the 440 hurdles. He was running very well, but he refused to take part in a competition against Russia and France. Why didn't he run? Well, he said, that particular race was on a Sunday, and Sunday is God's day, and I do want to give it all to Him. Tom Farrell knew that Sunday is the Lord's day and that all of the day belongs to Him. Secondly, he said, there are so many grand Christian folk who have brought up children to keep the Lord's Day that I don't want to make it more difficult for any fellow, knowing how boys respect an athlete's word. Tom Farrell wanted to set a good example to all the young people who are interested in sports. Thirdly, I do want God to have all the glory for anything that I do, because after all, it is in His wonderful grace alone that this has been brought about. What a great example and great athlete. Never on Sunday, says Top Jumper. That was the headline in one of the tabloid newspapers, and the Top Jumper was Barrington Williams from Cannock in Staffordshire, an Olympic standard long jumper. In January 1987, he won the British Indoor Long Jump Championship. He was then chosen as a member of the British team for an international competition against Hungary. Barrington discovered, however, that the competition was to be on a Sunday. That seemed to settle it, he said, but the Hungarians changed the day so I could get there. If it comes down to it, God comes first and athletics second. Sunday is God's day. I have made a promise to the Lord that I will not take part in sports events on Sundays, he says, even if it is at the very top. I will jump on Saturday night and Monday morning, but not on Sundays. As a Christian, Barrington Williams puts God first in his life. Michael Jones. During the Rugby World Cup in June 1987, the New Zealand All Blacks played their semi-final game against Wales on a Sunday. This created no problem for most of the players, but 22-year-old New Zealander Michael Jones, a back row forward, refused to play on the Sabbath. Why did the international rugby player make that decision? Here is his explanation. Since I was young, I have not played on Sundays, and I do not intend to start now. Sunday is the Lord's Day. Rugby is very important to me, but there are other things in life. It would be hypocritical to change my mind now just because there is a World Cup semifinal coming up. I would love to play in terms of the opportunity, but I put God first. Oh, that all true athletes who call themselves Christians would obey God rather than man. The Lord said that we must obey God rather than man. And I challenge all true Christians out there that today is the Lord's Day. This is a day that our country used to observe, but it has deteriorated rapidly. As sports has risen, business crazes have risen, pleasure crazes has escalated. May we honor the Lord who is King of heaven and King of glory. Oh, may we not set our wills in opposition to His. May we acquiesce and humble ourselves before our God that He might lift us up. May the Lord receive the glory. May we be in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will show you the path you're to take. When we trust in our own strength, many struggles come our way. When we lean on our understanding, the night will hide the day. But if when trials come, we will trust in our Lord, He will show us the path for today. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will show you the path you're to take. Our Lord will never leave us when we're strong or when we're weak. He will guide down His perfect path for the way through hard and bleak. So help us, Lord, to lean on Your great strength alone. We need Your comfort and wisdom each day. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will show you the path you're to take.
Turning to the New Testament scriptures, the very first book of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. Matthew 22, commencing at verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying," and Christ quotes in Psalm 110, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool." If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Gracious Father, again we thank Thee for the words of Christ. They are living, and we believe that Thy Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We pray that the Lord would speak through His Word again today. Thou hast said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We pray that Thou wilt give saving faith and sanctifying faith today. Give grace, Lord, to Your people, and may there be precious souls won by Christ, believing on the Savior today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What think ye of Christ is perhaps the most important question that can be put to man. It's now the Lord's turn to turn the tables on those so-called clever Pharisees. He baits the opinionated teachers. What think ye of Christ? Oh, how man loves to parade his educated opinion. And so the Lord baits their pride, as it were, They had a lot of teaching. They had a lot of information to give people. And you know, we think about truth that wrong thinking has disappointed and damned souls for as long as man has been on the earth. No man who shot his son hunting thought he saw him. No man who ran over his child thought he was behind the car. No one in hell thought that his religion of works was only damning his soul. The scripture tells us in Proverbs, "There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Every man's thinking is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Christ does not ask this question because he needs man's educated guess, or that he needs revelation, or that he cares what man thinks of him. Christ would have us take heed to ourselves and to investigate our own ways to see if they be the way of life or death. Your view of Christ in this case, your loving or not loving him with your mind and with your soul, reveals your position and condition before him. A few statements regarding what think ye of Christ. Man's estimation of Christ is far below Christ's value. This word think has as the majority of its subjects man, for Christ knows. The only exceptions were when Christ said, "I trow not," T-R-O-W in Luke 17, "and it seemeth good unto the Holy Ghost" in Acts 15. God knows. Man thinks until God reveals to him the truth by which he can know anything. Take a poll of what man thinks of Christ. A good man, but not God. A dead man, or a victim on a crucifix, God but not man, or no priesthood and therefore no salvation, God and man but virtually powerless. He did the work, but man determines his destiny. So it is in modern Christianity today. So many think of Christ in so many ways, but the Christ that they think of is one with no power. They said, "He is the son of David," thinking that he was merely a descendant. Oh, he may overthrow the Romans when he comes. He may be the exalted rabbi, but he's simply a descendant of David. This is a denial of the lordship of Jesus Christ. Christ is not popular today. The lists of the most popular change, but Christ, his name still causes people to blush. His name still causes people to curse. His name constitutes cursing today in many workplaces. And you go outside today and Jesus' name is taken in vain. The Bible still says, the third commandment, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," or to no good purpose. His name is limited to dead religion and vain religion on the Lord's day for an hour. What other currently reigning monarch has ever been knowingly ignored, derided, belittled, without consequence? But God is long-suffering, but His long-suffering will end. It is not as long as eternity. Man's estimation of Christ is far below His value. The Pharisees simply said He's the son of David. And people still today say He's a good historical figure. He was a good man, an exemplary man. He died for us, as if just simply acknowledging the historical fact of Christ's death is enough to save them. You need His death applied to your account. Secondly, it is not man's estimation that is the final or prevailing analysis or diagnosis. What is the final diagnosis? Jesus shows the depth of Scripture in Psalm 110. As He had revealed the teaching of resurrection from Moses' encounter at the bush, so He unveils to us His deity and lordship from a well-known messianic psalm. "The Lord said unto my Lord." All recognized the second person as the Messiah, but all had not recognized the transcendence of the descendant above the forefather. Christ is greater than David. David called His descendant Lord. He must be greater than David. Christ is before David. He's before Abraham. He is God and man and Lord of all. In Psalm 110, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of Thy power." Christ, saves his unwilling people, gives them a new heart and a new will to desire him. You see, you cannot lift up Christ too much. You cannot overestimate the Lord. Oh, that we might exalt him. Our estimation and man's estimation, religion's estimation of Christ is not the final or prevailing analysis. People will belittle the Savior until he appears. But every knee shall bow to him. Have you been conquered by his grace? Has Christ changed your estimation of him, that he is the Lord of glory, the King of kings? Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." The centurion's thoughts were changed. Truly, this was the Son of God as he observed Christ's death. And even Saul, who became Paul, called himself a servant of Jesus Christ. What wilt thou have me to do? Jesus of Nazareth appeared to Saul, and he called him Lord. And finally, the final diagnosis will weigh man's estimation in the balance. What shocking news! Sit still, the Father says to the Son, until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. If you die with a low view of the Savior and never realize his power, or even die with a high view of Christ without being conquered by his grace, you will have to bow in shame and be judged by the King. There are many friends of gospelers who have never known the friend of sinners, the Lord Jesus. What is it to be at the footstool of his feet? Do you wish to discover by experience? I judge not. You don't want to be torn by a lion or mauled by a bear. In Revelation 14:11, there's no rest in hell for those who were never saved. No relaxation. The smoke of their torment arises up forever and ever. What do you think of Christ? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, "What does he think of me?" Revelation 22, he's the root and the offspring of David. Not just the offspring or the descendant. Yes, he is man, but he's the root of David because he's also God. He's the God-man. God and man. Not God that has been humanized or man that has been deified. There's no fusion. There's the union of the divine and the human. "Ye call me Lord, and so I am," Jesus said in John 13. Beware of your thinking. Make your thinking to coincide with the Word of God. The Scripture is very clear that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of David. What think ye of Christ? Your soul hinges on that truth. Do you think of him as Lord and God? May you know him as your Lord and Savior and your God. May this be the day that you bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all.
Every voice and heart is swelling, worthy is the Lamb to reign. Of God, our souls adore thee, as upon thy face we gaze, where the Father's
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Berean Free Presbyterian Church, located in Boston, New York, just 35 minutes south of Buffalo, off Route 219. You may write to Pastor Phil Owen at Berean Free Presbyterian Church, 8435 Boston State Road, Boston, New York, 14025. That's Berean Free Presbyterian Church, 8435 Boston State Road, Boston, New York, 14025. Or you may call the church at area code 716-941-3199. Area code 716-941-3199. Also be sure to visit our website at www.freepres.org. www.freepres.org. If you're free next Lord's Day, we invite you to come and worship with us. Sunday school for all ages is at 10 a.m. and the church services are at 11 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. We also have a midweek Bible study and prayer meeting on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. Thank you for listening today. I trust that you'll join us again at the same time next week as once more we let the Bible speak.